Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, you know this passage, I know probably by heart. A lot of you could probably even quote it, could quote it along with me. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Christ. In Christ. Two words. Two words that's one of the most powerful statements that we'll ever be able to make about our Christian experience is that we are in Christ. Paul uses this term frequently throughout his writing as he wrote to the Romans, not in the early part of the epistles that were written, but in the latter part. He makes mention of that when you get near the end of the book, that many years have now passed since he's been in the faith and writing these particular passages. But he uses this phrase at the end of his journey just as much as he did at the beginning of the journey. Now let me pause right here and say this to you. I know that there are a lot of people that they know that they're saved. They know what happened when they got saved. They may not be able to explain all of it, but they have no doubt that they are saved. But even though you're saved, if the devil could do any one thing, he would love for us not to understand where we're at with Christ. If we ever fully grasp our position with Christ, the position that we are in Christ, it changes our understanding of God's Word. It changes the way that we react to circumstances through life. It changes our whole message as far as reaching out to others and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. Of yourself, you're nothing. I'm nothing. But when I am in Christ, that's what makes the difference. This probably happened. Well, I actually know when God began to speak to my heart about this particular verse. I was in Columbus Airport. I'm standing in the airport there in the terminal looking out at a plane that Brian and I is getting ready to board to go to Tampa, Florida. We're waiting on the call to be able to get on the plane so that we can go south to preach a meeting, scheduled to preach there in the camp meeting in Tampa, Florida. And as I'm standing there, I go around and look at the plane. And I watch as they're preparing the plane for takeoff. And I just study the plane for a little while. And I start thinking about things. I start thinking about the law of gravity. And the law of gravity says there is no way that heavy object should be able to get up in the air and take me to Tampa, Florida. I look at that plane and I wonder who got the bright idea of putting all of that together. And I wonder oftentimes about the intelligence that God has given to man. And I stand in amazement at that. And here I am getting ready to go inside that plane to go to Tampa, Florida. Now, I would not be anywhere and go anywhere if I didn't get in the plane. I could stand there and stare at the plane all day long and say I saw a plane, but I'm not going anywhere till I get in the plane. A lot of you come every week and you stare at Jesus and you stare at the gospel and you think about the gospel and you think how wonderful it is, but you can't go anywhere till you get in Christ. I can think about what a marvel that it is to know the law of gravity, and I can't fully understand the law of gravity. A law is always a law. I know that an object, when it is up and when it is dropped, that it will fall to the earth by the law of gravity. But I also understand this. I don't know how it works, but I know this. The law of aerodynamics is greater than the law of gravity, because if it wasn't, then there's no way I could get in that plane and go to where I'm going. I could stand there in the terminal or on the tarmac and I could praise the plane. But I'm still not in the plane. A lot of people praise Jesus, but they're not in Jesus. A lot of people praise the gospel and they praise the church, but they're not in Christ. For me to get to where I'm going, I've got to get in that plane. And once I'm in that plane and I'm up in the air, I don't understand everything. I don't understand how it all works. You can try to tell me how it works. It still doesn't make any sense to me that this enormous object with all of these passengers can take you 30,000 feet in the air and in an hour and 45 minutes be nearly 1,000 miles away getting off on the ground. That makes no sense to me. And that tells me this. You don't have to understand it all to be in Christ. You will never
never be able to fully understand it, because if you could understand it, you'd take the element of faith out of it. But if I get on that plane and suddenly it dawns on me, I've got it all figured out, I think. I could try to open a door and get out. I could flap my arms like I think I'm a plane, but I'm not a plane. I see a lot of people just flapping their arms. They create a lot of wind in life, but they're not in Christ. If I get in that plane, I got on a plane that was going to Tampa, Florida. If I'm in that plane, where that plane goes, that's where I go. No matter where that plane is traveling, if I'm in it, I'm going where it's at. And that is the mystery of it all to the Apostle Paul. Him being in Christ, he began to realize what all took place. Because being in Christ, that means where Jesus was at, his position, where he is at, we are at. Where he was at, we were at. Where he is now, we are at. So he backs up, if you back up just one chapter in chapter 6, and he starts telling us the first stop that he makes as he starts thinking about this journey of Christ, being in Christ. He says one thing is that Jesus was crucified. And because Jesus was crucified, if we are in Christ, if we are really in Christ, we have been crucified. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The Bible says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Do you know what he was saying? He's saying that if we're in Christ, that when Jesus died, we died. The old person died when Jesus died. Thank God 2,000 years ago, as Jesus died on Calvary's cross, that is the place where Calvin Ray Evans died also. If I am in Christ and I am forgiven of my sin, I have died just as Jesus died. I don't have to fear death. That's why in all this age, people living in fear, wondering about things and concerned about things. And the truth of the matter is, they don't see that when Jesus died, if we are in Christ, we died. And being dead now, no longer does sin rule in our mortal bodies. Not only did Jesus go to Golgotha, but he also says the next stop that he made was the grave. In verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, unto death. He's saying we are immersed in the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The old man passed away, but because the old man died, there's a new man. Jesus died and went to the grave, but he didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the grave. And he's saying to us that if we are in Christ, we have not only gone to the place where that we have died in Christ, but if we are in Christ, we have also been raised to new life in Christ. The two go hand in hand together. He confirms it in verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. He says in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The thing that I don't understand, if you are in Christ and you have died, when he died, you died. And when he rose, you rose. If you have life in Christ, how can we sit there week after week and not rejoice in the fact that he has given us life, life more abundantly, life in Jesus? We have no life aside from Christ, but our life is in Christ. Well, that's great. We're in Christ, so we're crucified with him. We're in Christ, so we raised to new life in him. But where's Jesus now? I'm glad you ask. Ephesians chapter 1. If you'll turn there, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. It tells us where Jesus is now. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. And what
is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So he's at the place now where Jesus is out of the grave, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Chapter 2 and verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. We're here. How can we sit in heavenly places? Well, when Jesus rose from the grave, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. When he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he sent his Spirit to be in us. We are here bodily. Jesus bodily, physically, is in heaven. He ascended there. But he sent his Spirit here to be in us. We are here in body, but our spirit is in heaven. If you've come to worship in Rubyville Church, you didn't go far enough today. You're a little short of what it takes. Really, if you're going to worship God, you've got to get outside this building and you've got to leave these four walls and you've got to soar into the heavenlies and say, just as Jesus rose from the grave and is at the right hand of the Father, that's the place where we're at as well. As long as we see ourselves bound to this body, to this time, to this space, we will never be able to be all that God wants us to be. We're in Christ. And because we're in Christ, when Jesus died, we died. If we are in Christ, when Jesus rose, we rose. Because we're in Christ, because he is in glory, we are in glory. Here walking and talking, but yet we are in glory. Well, preacher, why is that such a blessing? Well, he tells us, go back to chapter 1, and let's look at verse 21. Since he is now at his own right hand in the heavenly places, this is what he has. Far above all principality and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that world which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the what? The church. Who's the church? Is the church a building? No. Is the church an organization? No. Who's the church? We are the church of the living God. That means that everything that is under Jesus' feet is under our feet. Why? Because we're in Christ. It's not because of what we do or who we are or how much faith we have. Because it is under his feet, it is under our feet. Principalities, powers, might. I am amazed. I'm staggered. Yesterday, all I heard from so many Christians with everything going on in Syria is fear and doubt and confusion and twisting of scriptures. Look right here. I'm not afraid. Jesus is in control. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has Israel underfoot, Syria underfoot, America underfoot. All principalities, all power is under his feet. And if I'm in him, he's in control, and I don't have to look with fear and wonder and amazement, because soon and very soon my spirit is in heavenly places this morning. But one day the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain, we that are in Christ, will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Our body, glorified body, will be with Christ, even as our spirit is with Christ now. That's the promise of God's word. Amen. In Christ. Amen. You may make the journey, and if you've done any flying, you know well, sometimes there's turbulence on the flight. But leave the flying to the captain. We get so consumed by the
troubles and problems and turbulence that we have in life, the things that come against us. And sometimes we look at those things and we think we've got it figured out and we think we'll jump overboard. But that's when we need Christ more than ever before. Remember who we are. We are those that are in Christ. So the church should pick up our head today, look to a world that's filled with doubt and confusion and tell them, let not your heart be troubled. Thank God the same Jesus that went away is coming back again, and the fulfillment of his word to us is that we have a hope because we are in Christ. In Christ. The question today is simple. Where are you at? You say, well, that's silly. I'm in Rubyville. No, no, no. Where are you at? Any teacher will tell you with students, their students can be in a class, but that don't mean they're in the class. Their mind can be somewhere else. Their affection can be somewhere else. Their attention can be somewhere else. You don't believe that? Wait until the last week of school, teachers. If this is your first year teaching, you'll find out students aren't with you anymore. They're there, but you've lost them. When we come to God's house, may I remind you, the question is always, am I in Christ? Am I in Christ? How do I know? Has the old person died? I mean, it's a pretty simple rule of thumb. If the old person still rules and the old person still controls who you are, you're flying the plane and you're not in Christ. Do you have life? I ran into a gentleman this week, and when we crossed paths, I spoke to him. I said, how are you today, sir? He's standing there beside him and he said, I am blessed, blessed, blessed. I said, well, that's great. I can tell by your voice, you're a born again Christian. Oh, yes, sir. And he said, I can tell by looking at you, you're a preacher. It's amazing how they know that. And I said, yes, I am. We shook hands. He introduced himself. I introduced myself. I told him where I'd been. He told me where he had been. And I said, you know, it is refreshing to me to run into Christians that love the Lord, and because they love the Lord, they love life. And we talked for a few moments, and he said, well, he said, I just have to tell you this. He said, 15 months ago, I was dying in a hospital. 15 months ago, I had cancer to the point they said there's no treatments. He said, suddenly, God reversed all of that. And he said, I just came from the doctor this week. In fact, I introduced him to my wife when we got together. And he told her the same thing. I'm cancer free. And I watched him as he rejoiced in that. Boy, my heart was rejoicing. But you know, something else that made me rejoice. I thought about the fact how sin was the cancer of my soul. But when he died, I died. And when I died, just like he came to life, I came to life. And now I'm alive in Christ Jesus. And I was doomed for death, but now I have life in Christ. If you're here today, you need to be in Christ. More than in the church. In Christ Jesus. When you begin to see your position in Christ, because if I ask most of you, do you believe Jesus can do anything? Practically everyone in here would say yes. But then when I start talking to you about personal challenges, you start to feel, I can't do it. You're absolutely right. You can't overcome it any more than you could save yourself. But if you are in Christ. I got on a plane to get off at Tampa. And guess where I got off?
Tampa. I got on the old gospel ship to go to heaven. And guess where I'm getting off? Heaven. Choice is yours today. Are you in Christ?